Let's go to Psalms 22 and 19. I'll read one verse and I'll let you be seated. But be not thou far from me. David praying a prayer of hope. Be thou not far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Lord, I come to you this morning. I just feel in my spirit, and I have all week, Lord, that somebody here today needs help. And their strength has been weakened, and they feel like their hopes have been dashed. But Lord, with the time we get through with this message, they'll learn to lean on you, God. Hallelujah. Open up, Lord, the windows of heaven today. Pour down your spirit, your anointing. And we give you the praise for your word and your name in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to read some more of this prayer. Now, before I go through this, read this to you. David is a prophet too. You know, he's not just wasn't just a king. He wasn't just a psalmist and just a shepherd boy. David was a prophet. And David prophesied many things concerning the cross and the crucifixion. And I'm going to read you a couple little passages here. They're very similar. And it's him in his dilemma, but he is prophesying about the cross to come and Christ on the cross. But yet it pertains to him and his soul. So let's start with that same verse again. Be thou not far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Deliver my soul, deliver and save my darling. Deliver my soul, my darling, from the power of the dog that the devour, wants to devour me. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. That is not a horse with one. That was a mythic thing that came much later, but there were different animals, even the rhinoceros, which was back in Christ, back in those days. That is basically a one-horned, very strong animal. So deliver me, he said, from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the strength of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Now watch here. He is in a dire strait and needing help, and he is weakened. But yet he says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. He's beginning to make some promises unto his deliverer, unto his helper. He's beginning to say, if you do this, I'll do that. It's called bordering. Has anybody ever bordered? You give me this and I'll give you that? Sure you have. Then in Psalms 35 and 15, but in mine adversity they rejoiced. Again, picture Christ on the cross, but yet picture your own dilemma. In my adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects or the hopeless gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and ceased not. Lord, they wouldn't quit. They bit on me. They spit on me. They plucked out my beard. My adversaries won't leave me alone. Whatever it is that keeps coming at you, it just doesn't seem to quit. With hypocritical mockers and feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? How is it you're going to watch me suffer and you could help me? Why is it you're just going to look on? Help me. How much longer? When are you coming to my rescue? Rescue, now watch closely, rescue my soul from their destruction. And here we are again. My darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks. And here's the promises again. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. And verse 28, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all day long. I want to preach. You're going to laugh when you see this title. Go ahead and show it to them. Oh, my darling. Oh, my darling. Brother Cercello, this old ballad was an Italian ballad. I don't know if you know that or not. Did you ever sing this to Sister Ruth? You know what? You're not too old to do it yet. I can teach you this little ballad real quick. Oh, my darling, Clementine. Yes. It was an old Italian ballad written about 1884. And it's as anything, it's had different versions and so forth. But this thing called a darling means the one and the only. The one and the only. You know, when you met your wife or your husband, that's for me. The one and the only. I see back in the back pew people sitting by their darling. I see people sitting by their darlings over here. These people sitting by their darlings over there. And so you feel like this is my darling. Now in that ballad, he said she's lost and gone forever. Oh, my darling, Clementine. So if you lose your one and only, there is no replacement. My wife has already told me if something happens to her and I remarry, she will haunt me. That's my darling, the one and the only. So in this ballad, he's lamenting and mourning about losing his one and only, because when you lose the one and only, it's gone forever. All right? And so when David writes this, you want to get the picture of Christ hanging on the cross, the only Son of God, the one and the only that is hanging on the cross. It was his glory. It was his pride. It was his joy. It was his Son hanging on the cross. And even the darling said, "Where are you? Why hast thou forsaken me?" Are you gathering all this together? The darling is hanging on the cross. So David is prophesying, yet he's talking about his own situation too. He's talking about God and his Son, but he looks at his own soul and he says, "They gaped upon me with their mouth. They're like raving dogs and raving lions. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart was like wax, and it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My heart sunk. Where are you? My strength is dried up," he said, "like a potsherd. And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me," you've brought me to the dust of death. I am staring death in the face. Death is looking at me. Death is wanting to claim me. Death is after me. I have no strength, and I have but one soul. He said, "Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling." So as Christ was hanging on the cross as God's darling, so was David and his soul. How many souls do you have? Oh, my darling, if you're lost, you're gone. Oh, my darling. One soul. When God made man, he graciously gave him two kidneys, two lungs, a four-chambered heart, two legs, two arms. But he breathed in the man and he gave him one soul. Oh, my darling. He gave him one darling to take care of. If you don't take care of your health, that's your business. You don't take care of your hands, your feet, and that's your business. But honey, he gave you a soul, and that needs to be your darling. And so we see Christ hanging between heaven and earth, God's darling, and his soul was crying out, "Where are you? Where are you?" Jesus said it this way. He said, "It would be better that you enter into heaven missing this or this or this. Better that you miss what I gave you two of and enter in there with your soul than to keep all those things you've got, all your members, and take your darling to hell with you. Wherever you go, you take your darling with you. I want to preach this morning a sobering message, because I am not here to play games. I'm not here to play church. You can play hypocrite or hippopotamus, whatever you want to play. But I got a soul, and you do too. And many times people say, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you tell them this? Why didn't you do that? They got a soul. That's why I didn't. I got to tend to each one of you different than the other one, because every one of you have a soul. And God gave me some ability to help you salvage your soul out of every situation. If you don't salvage the relationship, salvage the soul. If you don't salvage the friendship that you once had, salvage the soul. And my job is to not make people kiss and make up all the time. It's to salvage the soul. And some are pulled out of the fire with compassion. Others, you got to yank them out. You treat them different. You've got to love God and your soul more than you love anything else in this world. Jesus said plainly, if you come after me, let him first deny himself. What did I teach you the other night? Know thyself. Know thyself. You need to know yourself well enough to know if you cross that line, there's some stuff coming out you don't want to hear. So don't cross that line. You need to know yourself well enough to know I can't go there because I'm weak. And if I go there, I know what's going to happen. You need to know thyself. Know your limitations and know your abilities. Then he said, take up your cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall save it. For what profiteth a man if he loses his darling and gains the whole cotton-picking world? Hope that's okay to say. What did it gain you? What would you exchange for your darling? What could I give for her? Nothing. And there's nothing, whatever it is you think is more important, you can have that too if it's of God. So, well, I just want to have a good time in life. You can have a good time in life. Keep your darling. Keep your soul in check. I've always got to keep it in check. I've always got to, now how's this going to affect my soul? How's this going to affect my relationship with this church and with God? See, I want to live above reproach in the sight of God and man. That's what the Bible says. Live above reproach in the sight of men. I don't want you. I want you to look at me and say, you know, I'm proud he's my pastor. I'm glad you can say, hey, Brother Bagg, he's my pastor. And says, well, you know, he does some things that I don't agree with. I hope that's not the case. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and he lost his soul? You'd be surprised this morning how many people have sold their souls. You hear me? Sold their souls. There was a young man came through here one time, went to the altar, emotionalist. I mean, emotional. He wanted to cry. He couldn't. He wanted to be convicted. He couldn't. I didn't know why. And he came to me one night. I stood right here. He said, Brother Baggett, I don't think I can be saved. I said, why not? He said, I sold my soul to the devil few years back. How do you answer that? I said, let me tell you something. You can't sell what you don't own. Whew! You can't sell what you don't own. This is God's soul he put inside of you. You didn't know what you were doing. Just tell God you're sorry. And there's people that think they've sold their soul and can't be saved. when you don't own your soul. It belongs to God, and He will require it of you. You are the steward of your soul. Jesus spoke a parable about a rich man that brought forth plenty. His ground, he planted some seed, and boy, he just had more than he knew what to do with. And the crops came in. He's like, wow, I've got so much. I have no room to bestow all my goods. I've got plenty already. I have no room. So this is what I'll do. He began to think about it. This is what I'll do. I'll tear down these barns, and I'll build bigger ones. And I'll have more stuff. And I'll say to my soul, soul, take thine ease. You got it made. And a voice came up and said, thou fool, thou fool, this night you won't never get to take that barn down. You won't ever get to pick those peas off of that vine out there, because tonight I want your soul back. You don't know when God's going to call your soul back. That's why I'm telling you, your darling, I'm telling you, you better take care of it. Anything that damages my soul, I don't want it. This night your soul is required of thee. And whose stuff shall that be you got out there? It's going to go to somebody else. But he said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself. He is not rich toward God. Money does not impress God. Stuff does not impress God. What impresses God is prayer and praise. When you pray to somebody, it acknowledges their power. And when you pray to him, God, I need you, you're acknowledging his power. And when you praise him is when you thank him for what he is doing. And I want to tell you this morning, I think we got worry warts in every church and everybody and every family's got worry warts. Put some of that methylate on it or whatever, curacomb or something on them worry warts. You need to do something to get rid of that worry. And my Lord, quit worrying about people and other things and what they do when it's really none of your business. What you need to be concerned about is your own soul. In this text, death is staring him in the face. Christ hanging there hopelessly, David in his dilemma. It looks like my bones are even looking at me. All my hope is gone. They're gnawing on me. It looks like I'm a goner. My strength is gone. Where are you at? And you know, when you get in these situations, there's always somebody, I hope it's not you, that says, where's your God now? Where's your God now? Oh, others he could heal, but himself he cannot. Oh, you believed for others. You anointed others. They got healed. But what about you? There's always those people around. He said, save me and deliver me. And then he begins to say, I will thank thee. I in the congregation, I will declare thy name. I will praise thy name all the day long. What's been crying out for with some of you is your flesh has been crying out. What needs to cry out is your soul. Your soul is what needs to cry out. Not the flesh. It's like, again, I heard a country song in Academy not long ago. It said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but not today. But let me tell you, you know you're at death's door when heaven starts looking good. You know you're tired of this life when heaven starts looking good. And to the saints of God, I'll tell you, I'm sick of this sick world that we live in. This is sick. It's upside down. Founded on God, now you can't even pray in a school or a football game or whatever without being ostracized. It's sick. David began to make some promises as they come this morning. Hanging there helplessly with no strength. Here's what he began to do. And here's what I'm advising you to do. Lord, if you save my soul and save my darling, I will praise thee in the congregation. I will. Your praise shall be continually upon my lips. He vowed his way out. I didn't say bowed his way out. He vowed his way out. I tell people when they get in trouble and they're ready to make some vows, make them. Some of you in here can tell you that when you was in trouble, the first thing came out of my mouth, if you want out of this, I'll tell you how to get out of it. I promise you, I know how to get out of this. Well, you're going to do this? You're going to talk to this? No, I'm going to talk to him. You got to talk to him. I'll talk to him. But you know what you got to do? Vow your way out. God, I promise, if you get me out of this thing, I promise you, I will praise your name. They won't have to ask who's got a testimony, because I'll be standing up. I have a testimony. Lord, they're not going to have to ask any prayer. I got a prayer request. I'm going to be ready in a moment's notice. God, if you'll just get me out of this thing. Those people make good saints. But until you've been to death's door and life has been wonderful and life has been great, you hadn't vowed anything. Vows are made by people who are broken and people who need help. Somebody said, I've heard it said many times, I've preached like this before, and people say, yeah, but Brother Baggett, the Bible says that it's better not to make a vow than to break it. You'll never make one. You're too scared to break it. You're too scared to break it, so you never make one. I'm telling you, you've got to vow your way out. Just like you vowed your way in. Yeah, did you know you vowed your way in? You said, God, if you'll save me. You said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm going to live for you. Yeah, you did. I don't know where I saw this, and maybe you did, and maybe I dreamed it. I don't know. But I remember a story of a man who was out on a ship by himself. And the ship was going down, and he'd hollered, and nobody was there. So he looked up to heaven. He said, God, very wealthy man, if you save me, I will give you everything I've got. Just save me. He looked around. He saw a little bit of land he had never seen before. And so he looked back to heaven. God, if you just save me, I'll give you 90%, Lord. 90%. I'll give you 90%. He was a little closer. Lord, if you just save me, I give you 70%. I'll give you 60, 40. And by the time he was walking on the sand, he said, Who is God? Who is God? God has saved you, folks. Don't you owe him something? And I'm here to preach to you this morning that if you are suffering from anything that's not from God, vow your way out. And you better keep it. David began to vow unto the Lord, just like Jacob vowed unto the Lord. Then he said in Psalms 30 and 1, I will extol thee. You know what extol means? It means lift you up higher than I ever did before. I'm going to give you my highest praise, Lord. O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hath not made my foes to rejoice over me. Lord, I realized when I lifted you up, you lifted me up. When I begin to praise you, then my troubles begin to go away. You know, sometimes you got your eyes on your trouble when you need to have your eyes on him. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord, oh, my God, he said, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. I believe this morning somebody could vow their way into a healing, vow their way into salvation, vow their way into peace, vow their way into happiness. You've got to make some commitments to God because he made a commitment to you. Whoo, my Lord, oh Lord, that thou brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, and that I should not go down to the pit. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Lord, if you'll just save me, the praise will be continually upon my lips. Hear me, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, O Lord, and be my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. To this end, my glory shall sing praise unto thee and not be silent. You won't be able to shut me up if God heals me. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord, my God, I will give thee thanks forever and forever. I just feel like this morning, this is somebody's turning point, Brother Johnson. I just feel like if somebody would make some vows, you know how long it takes to make vows? You know how long it takes? Yes, sir. When you married her, you said what? I do. You said, I do. That's it. It wasn't this long, drawn out thing. I do. And I believe if somebody would just say to God, I do. Whew. Would you stand? Would you come? This is 2016. It's time for things to change in your life. Come, come, come. Make a vow to God. Say, I'm ready this time, God, to live for you with all my heart, all my mind, all my strength. God, just show me the way and I'll go.